And thank you to all of the people who serve our kiddos. We're so grateful for you too. You know, church life is hopping when there's a lot of noise in between. We got a lot of kiddos in this church, and that is such a blessing from God. So if you are new here, you will get used to this middle part of chaos that happens, okay? We love this part because it's a time where we get to work with our children. But our times of corporate worship, we also want to work with our children and show them what it is to respond to God. Okay, so we do that together. So it might be a little bit disruptive in between, but there you go. It's done. Whoa, we got through it, right? And it's a wonderful thing when we get to be with our kids and show them how to worship the Lord. So my name is Judah. If this is the first time you're at Word of Grace, welcome. I'm one of the pastors here at Word of Grace, and I've been sharing a series called Church Ablaze, which is to bring to the fore what God's heart is for the church in this time, where we could get caught up with being fired up about things and being passionate about things, but the presence of God is not in it. So what happens with these things is we end up doing a lot of things that burn us out, but we're not burning, right? And just for a context, if you want to see where this kind of comes from, is if you look at when Moses was being set aside by God in Exodus chapter 3, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. Okay, and this is something that was almost like a foreshadowing of what God's presence would be among his people, where the red-hot presence of God could be in a place and people live to tell the tale. Think about it for a second. The God who knows every single thing that you and I have ever done, who knows every single thing that we have ever committed, he knows us each by name. Before a single day in our life existed, he knew all of them. And he says, draw near to me. And scripture also tells us no one can see God and live. That's a scary thought. That if you come face to face with God, you and I don't make it. And this very same God says, I will come and be with you. My desire is to be among my people. And the fire of God's presence, instead of being something that consumes and burns up, it is a presence that shines bright. So that is the essence of what a church ablaze looks like. It is a people who are alive with the presence of God, and the light that we see comes from his presence, and it does not consume us. But rather, being consumed by him, we shine. Does that make sense? So that is something that I want us to start teasing out a little bit more as we go into what this church age is, this time where God has left his church on the earth to do the purposes of God. What are those? And it has to be clearly defined by the presence of God. So today I want to talk about the gifts that were given to the church. Okay, so I've been working through systematically of just going through what the gifts are, why the Holy Spirit was given to the church, why each person has a gift, right? We established that last time. Are you an each? We are an each. To each one was given a gift as the Holy Spirit wills. So each of us has something given by God for the building up of the body, which is the church. So now for us to grow in these things, he wants us to establish some things right from the outset, that it is his presence alone, it is his spirit alone, it cannot be something that's natural. It's not something that I'm naturally good at. And this is a kind of it's almost like a counterfeit that has kind of made its way into church life and church organization, where we look at people's, what we would call talents and capabilities, and we do like a questionnaire and we try and figure out what are you good at, and that is basically what your spiritual gift is. Well, nothing against the natural abilities that you have, and God will use those things. But when you take those very same things and say, Lord, I yield them to you, right? Like that song, that last song that we were just singing, I yield it all to you. Now, let's say speaking might be a gift I have. I did not. If you were to know me as a person all the way through middle school, right into junior high, I was telling my kids this today too, I would freeze and it would literally choke me up to that I couldn't breathe if you told me to say things in front of other people. I was the son of someone who was a very dynamic speaker, someone who could like capture a room with very clear thoughts, and every second or third word out of my mouth was so there was a lot of that in anything that I said. And I would sit with my dad and I'd be like, I just don't have what you have, right? I'm not a good communicator. And I was telling my kids today, if it wasn't for the grace of God that was poured out, somebody who could have been pigeonholed as, you're just a kid who has certain gifts and certain tenacity. You're a creative person. You should just, you know, focus on those things. But you're not really that out front kind of person. Looks like God had other plans, right? And to this day, whenever I start, you will always see me pause because I still get those butterflies where I feel like my feet are tingling. And my heart goes to the bottom, and I got to pick it back up. That happens every single time. But I am convinced of this, that the grace of God that was poured out has to be what does it. And there are times where, over the years, I'm just giving you an example from my life so you understand where it's coming from, where I've tended to drift into, well, yeah, I got this. Yeah, I got this. I mean, I've been a pastor now for over 12 years. Come on. By now I should have got this thing. And you can tell as a church. There have been some of you in this church who love me enough who have come up to me and said, that was a lot of you. That was a lot of you. And if in the church we see a lot of whatever the dynamism of that person is, and not the presence of God, we have traded off for a counterfeit. And you wouldn't notice the difference unless you were paying attention. So in the church of Jesus Christ, if we're not paying attention, we will trade off the authentic presence of God and the power of God moving through weak jars of clay, vessels that are just merely dirt. The glory of God is seen, and we are so thankful for his presence. But instead of that, we would trade it off for a really good sermon, a really good worship set, a really good, well-organized ministry model, a way to grow the church, how to get more people in the pews, how to get better youth ministry. We will get all of those things right, and the presence of God will not be anywhere near it. And that should scare us. That should scare us that we could do so much without the presence of God. So this warning comes in a time where God is moving powerfully through our nation right now. You are seeing the life of God touching broken places, things coming to light, things being like just from the ground up. I've never seen a time before where so many people between the ages of 12 through 25 are seeking after God. I remember when I came to the Lord, and I'm seeing those things again, and I just want to encourage the church, don't settle for the counterfeit. Don't try and make something out of what God has started. So, let me get back on my page. It is by grace that we have been saved. So this is all a gift of God. So the fact that we have the presence of God in the church today is a gift. Can you say that with me? It's a gift. It is not something we deserve. It is not something that we could say, well, I got it because we run church with this model and we're part of this denomination and we have these doctrines sorted out. The Holy Spirit will be where He is welcome. And you will find the presence of God changing lives in the most unlikely places. You'll find the presence of God totally transforming people. Why? Because it is a gift of grace. So Ephesians 2 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Why? It is not a result of works, so that no one gets to... Okay, so that is the context in which I'm talking about the spiritual gifts. So whenever I get to the spiritual gifts, what am I talking about? No one gets to. No one does. All right. And this is something that God has hidden for the ages. In Ephesians chapter 3, can I go to that passage there quickly? This is Paul talking about himself. He says, though I am the very least among all of the saints, this is the guy who gave you more than half of your New Testament, pretty much. He's saying, I'm one of the least among the saints of God. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Wait, pause. What? So he's trying to say that there is something that has been hidden, something that has been, people have been, this is so mysterious. Like, what is God after when he looks at dirt and he says, my plan is to restore all things and to give my glory to a piece of dirt? What's going on here? This mystery for hidden through the ages in God, so that through whom? Through whom? Okay. So we're not talking about through the Israelites. We're not talking about through creation. These are all obvious answers, right? Instead, what is he doing? He's revealing these things through the church. The manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to whom? Ooh. So suddenly, it's not just about you living a good life in Western PA, figuring out whom you get married to, where you get your white picket fence, what you do with your 401k, who your grandkids are. You suddenly find it's got almost nothing to do with what you and I call life. The manifold wisdom of God is being made displayed through the church to whom? To the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. He is making a display for the heavens and the earth. Anything that has an authority, he's saying, here, I want to show you what my authority looks like. And he gave it to the church. People that look like you and me. But remember that verse I just talked about in Ephesians chapter 2, which came just before this. This is all a gift of grace. So that no one gets to say, yeah, you know, we're pretty hot here. We got some really good things going. No one gets to say that. Because God is displaying this red hot church that he has is something that he is doing on the earth. And it's a display for the heavens. Everything that has a name gets to see this is how the name of God operates. So that's just a teaser. For you to see that when God gives gifts, he's not giving it just, hey guys, it'll be nice if you get along, so let me give you a few things. Oh, here you go, buddy. Here you go. You get a toy too. Yeah, you get a little. No, no, no. This is not one of those things. When he gives things to the church, he is very specific. He has a goal in mind, which is the empowered church is reclaiming what was lost. So that every name that is named under heaven says that's where the power of God resides. How can it be? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Circle that in your Bible. Put a dart in it. That's the point. It's the common good, which is the display of God's goodness through his body, the church. For those of you who are in life groups, you would have noticed this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Right as we end that chapter, you start to see this name that is above every other name, this sweeping sovereignty that God has. He was given as head to whom? The church. Who fills all in all. So now you suddenly find the dwelling place of God being on earth is not just a pipe dream. He says, I'm modeling it through people who look broken, who look frail, who don't even have their resurrection bodies yet. But my Spirit will empower. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, this is Romans chapter 8. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now resides in you and will give life to these mortal bodies. These broken down looking jalopy kind of cars, those are the people he says, I'm going to empower to change the nations. So as a church, as we grow in these things, there are three things that we want to set as the goal. When exercising the spiritual gifts, which I will talk about, we want three things. We want to be a church that grows in clarity. Do we understand what God is saying? So, because there are various kinds of gifts, a lot of them involve words. And if you've ever been in a church setting, we know that words often get in the way. Because people say a lot. And you're like, well, what did I just hear? I don't even know. That sounded off the wall. How many times have you been in a church meeting where you're like, Or you know where your head from going straight, your head suddenly goes? It's because we've been in so many places where words got in the way. So we need to be a people who understand that the common good, which is general edification, does this minister to the needs of this local body. If that purpose is not clear, the words we use will be unclear, and then what ends up happening is no one is. The common is not gooded, as I put in my bad English. If the common good is not being met, we have lost. That spiritual gift is not bearing fruit. So that is something that we want to focus on. Secondly, we want to grow in skill. So in the gifts of God that we employ, we want to not just wing it. Oh, it just comes to me. Okay. It came to you the first time. Now let's understand what came to you and what shouldn't come to you. So that the next time this happens, it is clearer. And then you get better at understanding and discerning what God is saying. So you're not just someone who shows up every day with the same lack of training. So we as a church need to get into an atmosphere, into a culture where if the gifts of God are respected and valued, we also take the time to grow. We're not just going to simply say, well, that was a word, I don't know, that some of that sounded like gibberish, but hey, yay God, so whatever. No. If the church is truly to grow in these things, we don't just say whatever. We say, Lord, help us to get more sharp with those things. Help us to get more trained with those things so that we don't just wing it every single time. But every single step we take is a step of clear-eyed faith of saying, Lord, we're responding to what you said, and we want to do it together. So we grow together in that. And thirdly, as we grow in skill, we grow in maturity. And this is the goal of all spiritual gifts being given to the church, is that the church together learns to make room for each other. No part of the body thinks I'm more important than the other. So we grow together by making room, but that at the same time saying, hey, hang on a minute, that needs more skill, or that needs more clarity. So that we start to grow together in love, not with this dismissiveness, but in the sense of engaging. If there is any place of error within the church, we start to grow towards it rather than away from it. And this is the problem that has happened a lot over the years in the church. The moment something sounded a little bit off, what do we do? Ugh, I don't want to be near that guy. Rather than say, just like in Acts chapter 18 and 19, Aquila and Priscilla saw Apollos preaching the word with power. He was a powerful preacher. The church in Ephesus was about to be born. We're reading that right now in life groups, right? So the church in Ephesus is being born, and this guy named Apollos is preaching. But he's only got half of it. So what did they do? You should shut up and let the pros handle it. Did anyone do that? But they took him aside after he had finished. They took him aside, not to shame him in front of other people, because this is a key part of how we grow as the body of Christ. Took him aside and said, let me share with you what the full work of God is, what the whole counsel of God is. And guess what? Apollos ended up becoming one of the most instrumental church founders in all of Asia Minor, which is Turkey today. He ended up becoming someone that later on it says, who are you of? Oh, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. Apollos became such a big name in the church that he became someone that people regarded as a church founder. Do you see how the gifts of God can operate if we all seek to grow towards maturity? Not towards, yeah, that just sounded weird, so I'm just going to leave it. No. I'm going to lean in and say, brother, where is this in the word? What you shared yesterday, your heart was in the right place, but it doesn't line up with God's word. You challenge. And that challenging is not coming from criticism. It's coming from we're seeking maturity. And if we make room like that in our lives for each other, like I said, when there were times where I would preach and people would come to me, people who love me, and say, you were just preaching there. You were preaching because Judah likes to preach. The heart of God was missing in that. Well, excuse me, I was preaching from the Bible. That's your problem if you didn't get it. I could take that opinion because everything I would have said would have come from the Bible. But what if I missed something and the heart of God was missing? They're like, we've watched you. We've watched you operate in the grace of God. And now you're trying to complete it in the flesh. Return back and keep in step with the Spirit. I've had people like that challenge me several times in my life. And it will be something that I will need going forward. Why? Because we keep our brothers and sisters on the same path of saying, we're growing towards maturity. We're growing towards maturity. Don't ever think this is about you. Don't ever think this is about you. So as we grow in these three things, clarity, skill, and maturity, we start to find that these gifts were given to bless the whole church. So let me just quickly talk about the various kinds of gifts we have. Can I have that slide? Now, this is not a complete list, but I wanted you to see these are all things from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter 4, and there are several other passages, but these are the key passages. But we would tend to take these gifts and make them our be-all and end-all. But like I said, with the fruit of the Spirit, there is so much of the fruit of the Spirit that is a baseline for how everything in the Spirit operates. If the love of God is not there in what we're doing, this is the fruit of the Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us, after talking about these gifts, if you do all of this and don't have love, better stop right now. Because what you're going to do will end up hurting people. If the peace of God is not reigning in you, you will not do the works of ministry the way it was meant to. But let me go through some of these things. Just for the sake of clarity, just so you see them in some buckets. A lot of the gifts you will see are speaking based. So you will find these things involve words. Some of them would be speaking with boldness, spiritual songs, exhortations, encouragements, diverse tongues, evangelism, apologetics. And the reason I'm going through these things is because you wouldn't see those if you were just reading a spiritual gifts list. Some of these are tucked into texts where you start to see when someone was filled with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 4 is a clear example. They were praying together and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the resulting gift that was given to the church? They began to preach with boldness. You suddenly find it is no longer me naturally trying to share the gospel. There is a boldness and conviction that comes that is able to transform the way I preach. Suddenly that was a gift. So you start to see the work of God starts to go way beyond just places where it says, now these are gifts. But a lot of these gifts are revelatory. They take something that God has and discloses it to us who don't know. So the way we use, you will see this language being used, it is prophetic. Prophetic means to speak forth, but we often think of speaking forth as something that is always future tense, right? If you say the word prophecy, you would be like, oh, something in the future. That is true for the most part. It's speaking ahead of. Before something happens, you're speaking ahead. But it also means I'm telling things as God sees it. Now tell me, where is time as far as God is concerned? Is it in the future for God? He's talking about things that happened ages ago from our perspective, and we won't see for another hundreds and thousands of years. He's speaking all of those things, and he says, I'm displaying these things to very normal people. Imagine this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but one of the greatest prophets that ever lived is a guy named Moses. Guess what? We have the first five books of our Bible from him. Where was he when Genesis was happening? Did you ever think that? By prophetic word, God was giving to him exactly the detail of events. So he wrote these things down, and so now we have that prophetic word being made more sure through what Jesus said. Jesus then starts to unpack. He says, I was there at the beginning. John, when he's writing his gospel, talks about the beginning. You have people like Paul and Peter in their letters talk about things that they had no business knowing. God revealing things that are from times that they did not exist in. This is how God discloses. And when God reveals, there is a forward-thinking sense, but also sometimes an explaining of things that were. Does that make sense? So it's sometimes a disclosing of things that were, or it's a telling forward of things that are to come. So let me just go through these gifts so that you understand them a little bit better. Prophecy, in Romans 12:6 and Romans 12:10, this is that fourth telling, of telling something that is about to happen. This, whenever you see the gift of prophecy as a word, it is often what we were talking about, future. Is let me tell you what is to come. And God will give that to people in the church. And there will be times where as people grow in skill and in maturity, there might come a time where we as the church will recognize and say, we have a prophet. Anyone who tells you they are a prophet, be very careful. But there is a witness that God gives the church where there is an understanding. I've heard the word of the Lord and we receive these things with faith. But there is always accountability, right? Because it's, what is the point? The common good. Not about how this hotshot thinks whatever's coming is coming. Are you hearing me? So whenever you see the gifts of God, it's always about the common good and the building up of the church. This one, I want to take a little bit of time because this is one that confuses people. Tongues, right? So there is, whenever scripture talks about tongues, it is talking about a diverse form of tongues. It's not just saying tongues. If you read that in your Bible, it talks about that to one is given the gifts of healing, to another, diverse tongues. Not just one kind of tongue, different kinds of tongues. So it's not just tongues as a singular, this is some spiritual gift that now this person possesses. So as you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 and a few other passages, I want to explain some things to you. Firstly, tongues is where it is not in a language that you and I are familiar with. It's not something that we speak. We speak what language? English. That's the language we all communicate in. That's the language we all understand. What kind of language is that? It's an earthly language. We can see its script. We understand it. We know to write in it. That's what we have. That's our earthly language. When the Bible talks about tongues, it's talking about a heavenly language that is given, but it's also talking about earthly languages in one context. So I want to just parse that for you. So if I were to take tongues, I'll split them into two categories. Heavenly tongues, earthly tongues. And under heavenly tongues, you have, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he who prays in another tongue prays to the Lord. And he utters mysteries, things that people don't understand. Now, this is something where in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the one who prays in another tongue edifies himself. This is something that is given to a believer to minister to the Lord and to receive from God in their spirit. So this is not going to make sense to my mind. It's not going to make sense to people around me. So that is a heavenly tongue which does not have an interpretation. Why? Because I'm talking to the Lord and I'm building up my spirit. The second kind of heavenly tongue is a heavenly tongue that is spoken forth. This kind of tongue, and this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 takes a lot of time to unpack. Because in verses 6 through 13 of 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about, hey, hang on a minute. I want all of you guys to speak in tongues, but can all of you just stop for 1 minute? Time out. Is Paul literally going time out? All of you seem to be excited about this tongues thing, but then you're starting to pray in these tongues, And nobody knows what the heck you're saying. Like, it is literally gibberish to everybody who's standing around you. So he says, if you are going to speak in tongues publicly, make sure that you ask the Lord for an interpretation. Why? Because people need to understand what God is saying. So this kind of tongues is where it is spoken forth and immediately must be followed with an interpretation. Why? What is the point of spiritual gifts in the church? Common good. It is for the building up. You did not come here to listen to gibberish. So he says, if you're going to keep talking gibberish, I would much rather 5 words that make sense than all this prattling on you keep doing. Stop that. Speak 5 words that make sense in the gathered church meeting so that everyone is edified. So you see, in the heavenly tongues realm, you're talking about, I'm ministering to the Lord. This is something that I need to ask God for. So I say, Lord, I want to be someone who receives the gift of tongues that I might minister to you and you can minister to me. This is you and me, Lord. But I also, in the gathered meeting, I control my spirit. I yield to you. And I say, Lord, I take control and I ask you, Lord, if there is something that you have for your church, I want to respond. And a tongue is given. You speak in something that is not English. And it is not, I come from India. I speak about 3 or 4 Indian languages. Now, I could speak in some Indian language and it would all be tongues to you. Right? But we're not talking about that. Even I don't get what it is. But I proceed to pray in another tongue. And then we wait. Because if God has given me the faith to utter it publicly for the hearing of the church, it must be interpreted. Can you say that with me? It must be interpreted. It cannot be something that just sits out there in the open. And this is what I'm talking about when I say we need to grow in skill. Where we're like, well, maybe he was just doing his him and God thing and we just heard it. If you're going to do it publicly, it needs to be done in faith. And we're going to challenge that to a place where we say, if we're going to do it in the gathered meeting, we're waiting on the Lord. Why? Because faith responds to God. We're saying, Lord, if you are saying something, we don't want to miss it. So we don't just skate on with the service. Be like, oh, I guess now we just got to move on. Why? Because the preacher's ready. No, if we're going to wait on the Lord, we're going to wait on the Lord together. What were you saying, Lord? And if it wasn't, immediately we have to say, that wasn't from the Lord. So we're never letting something just be like in the big box of the shrug shoulder church model. I don't know. You get something, I don't get anything. And there's so much of church operation that it happens like that, and all of us are sick of it. To the point where we're like, what was that? Go ask an elder, go ask a pastor. I don't know. Don't ask me. Well, we should ask you. Who else are we going to ask? Right? So that is where we, those of us who lead, have the burden of saying, Lord, we want to lean in, not just sit passively. We're leaning into what you're saying, and we want to respond. So thirdly, so there were 2 kinds of heavenly tongues, right, I talked about. So everyone understands. The first kind, you're talking to the Lord. Second, you're talking in a language that you don't know but needs to be interpreted. Now we move over to earthly tongues. And this is something you see on the day of Pentecost. They were all gathered in one place. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. And guess what? The guy who served in India started hearing Hindi. The guy who was serving in Ethiopia started to hear Ethiopian. The guy who was serving in... Do you understand? So all of these Jews who are from different lands, they were like, I'm hearing my language. This is a human language with a human script that I know. I have been in meetings where I've heard people literally pray in a language that someone else in the congregation needed. But none of us in this church spoke that language. And it happens in the Indian church so often because India is a country that has over 800 languages. The problem is everyone says, it's amusing when people come to me and they say, do you speak Indian? I'm like, which one? Because India is like that. It's a world of languages. And when you're in a community, often you don't have people who speak all of those languages. So when God ministers to someone in the church saying, I will give you another tongue, and it is exactly what that person needs. So what happened on the day of Pentecost, all these people gathered there were hearing the deeds, the mighty works of God in their own language. And they were like, how is this happening? Because God had given them another tongue. And the second one is where you start to find out of what you have, God starts to give you language to pray in the Spirit with groans too deep for words, things that you don't even understand. But you know the Lord has placed something on your heart to pray for or to minister to. But you don't know what you're saying. You just know that you were in the presence of God, interceding for that person. I don't know the words. Romans 8:26 tells us this. He says, the Holy Spirit, we often don't know how to pray what we ought to pray. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, and he comes alongside us with groans too deep for words. He prays with us. So the Holy Spirit takes the lead and says, I will help you pray. And you suddenly find yourself praying for something and you're like, well, what did I pray? I don't know what I prayed. But I know that this was something God set on my heart to pray for. And later you find that that person comes to you and says, my marriage was going through something and God really worked a miracle in that, or my child was in an accident and this happened. I don't know. God just put this on my heart and I just started praying. I don't know what I was praying. That is the Holy Spirit leading. Okay. Sorry, I had to take a little bit of time there. So when you come to some of these other ones like words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits and teaching, this is where God has to disclose something that wasn't already known. So it is something where God has to reveal something from the heart of God for this time. So if you're at work, so you're talking about, Lord, I need wisdom. And you suddenly find God give you such a clarity about this is how you're going to handle this schedule, and this is what you're going to do on Monday, and then that's what's going to happen on Tuesday. Some of you have already operated in the word of wisdom. You just don't know it. This is why I'm saying the spiritual gifts are not mystical. They are about being filled with the Holy Spirit and continually yielding to God. A word of knowledge where God says, a word of knowledge is where it pinpoints what the root or the problem is. Where God literally helps you get past all of the other stuff that's going on, saying, it's that there. That's what the issue is. And you're like, I didn't know that. There were times where I would be working, and because I worked with lots of spreadsheets, lots of data, and I don't know if anyone's worked with lots of data, you'll find like if one thing's off, it sets the whole thing, everything goes up sideways. And you got to try and figure out where the problem was. And there have been times where God would just say, It's in row 34. I'd be like, I didn't know. And you go down to the, and it would be there. So the fact that God could do things like that, I'd be like, how often do I respond to God in these things? How often do I give over my heart to the Lord? Or do I just say, I'm a pretty good administrator. I should be able to figure this out. Do you see what I'm talking about? Natural gifting, saying, Lord, I yield it. I ask for a supernatural one. So if it's administration, I want to be better at that. Things that I did not put on this list here, which I think need to be understood when it comes to acts of power. Healing. Can you heal people? Anyone can heal people here? You immediately understand, oh, we're talking about spiritual things. Yeah, I don't have that. I need to lean on the Holy Spirit. But what does Mark 16 tell us? Believers in my name will lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? They will recover. When was the last time that happened for you? Are we believers? Okay. So is there something right now in your family, in your body? Guess who you get to practice on the most? Myself. And there are times where you have to just respond to the Lord saying, Lord, I want to practice these things. I want to approach you with faith, but you are the worker. You are the one who does this, not me. I'm not the worker of power. You are. So when it comes to healing, God gives great faith sometimes to believe for things that are so outside of the realm of our possibility. There are some people who, in our church, who have such a gift of great faith to go after things that seem ludicrous, that God would do something like that in our time. Hospitality, this you will see. So all of these things are in these passages. We often neglect these things. We think they're minor gifts. Why? Because it doesn't look flashy. There are people's homes in our church that have been life-giving sources to people simply because they opened their doors and said, I'll make you a cup of coffee. Did they preach? Nope. They just had coffee. Do not neglect the supernatural because it is using natural means. And do not just do it in the natural because you can do it. This is the problem with a lot of Christian ministry. We do it because we see a need and we think, I'll just do it. Don't just do it. Rather, yield to the Lord saying, Lord, this is a need. You want me to minister to this need? I ask for the supernatural gift that I might be able to do it in your power. So as we close here, I will go over these things. I have notes on all of these things. I've made sure that because I knew I wouldn't get through most of it. So I made sure that I put this down in a document so that you could see where Scripture talks about all of these things. That all of these things, the Holy Spirit is the one who's working the work of power, not us. So whether it is a speaking gift, a revelatory gift, or a power gift, you're never in a place where you're saying, well, what do I do next? You don't have to. Just yield to the Lord. When it comes to apologetics, you will find that you might not notice that this is a spiritual gift. How to give a defense for the gospel in the midst of a trying situation. In Matthew chapter 24, I think it's Matthew 20, where Jesus says, when you are hauled before the authorities, don't try and pre-plan what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in the moment. But more often than not, we would just trust our own instincts. Things I did not write there was the gift of endurance in the midst of suffering. This is something that the Lord has given to the church. The gift of handling death and martyrdom well. This is a gift. The thing is, these are things that we totally think, well, I'll just do it. If this is what it's going to cost me, I guess I'll... Without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you cannot do it. Right now, there are believers right now in the Middle East who are laying down their lives for the sake of the gospel as a gift, and they do it with joy. How can you be joyful when you're about to lose your entire family? Because it is a gift of the Spirit. To say, so Stephen is a clear example in Acts chapter 7. They were stoning him to death. Saul, who later became Paul, was one of the guys throwing stones. And he stood there looking up into heaven, and he was so filled with joy seeing the Lord standing there receiving him. What is that? Is the guy high on something? Do you see? The gift of the Holy Spirit is not just for fun stuff. It's even in the hard stuff. You suddenly find the power of the Holy Spirit helps you stand in the midst of suffering. Stand in the midst of persecution. Stand and give a defense. Stand and be silent when people mock you. When everything inside of you wants to go and say, well, I'll show you. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And let all of these things be done for the building up. So when we get together, I'm going to ask us to keep practicing these things. Not from a stage. But as the meetings close, stay behind. Talk to someone. Share with someone and say, okay, are we willing to go and discover what God has for us together? I'm willing to pray with you. Let's do that together. So can we just pray right now and just say, Lord, we are willing to receive out of the gifts that you have. We receive from you, Lord, what you have for us. You are good, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. So we thank you, Lord, for the releasing of gifts right now in the church. Lord, in any place where our heart is not responding in faith, Lord, I ask that you'd shake up that ground. Lord, that we might respond to you with an open heart and say, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you will establish us in your word. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit breathes on this word and shows us the things that are freely given to us by God. So we just want to respond right now and say, Lord, our lives are yours. Do with us as you please. We want to respond to these things in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.